In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello, and welcome to the Sunday special episode of the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. I think we're both very excited for today's episode. A true, real doctor, a real expert, not just us two talking out of our asses. She has a great podcast, a great Instagram account, great website, just generally great all around, called Sex with Emily. Before we start going, Jordana, any announcements here at Betches? What do we got going on?
Yeah, so I'm really excited to share with you guys, in honor of our 10-year anniversary or birthday coming up, we have a whole new exciting thing coming to Betches. You will see it this week. Guys, check out our website this week because there's some exciting changes going on there. And also, me, Sam, and Aileen are going to be taking over the At Betches podcast from now on. So we will be the new hosts. And the first episode, which was really, really good, we have already recorded it. It's going to be out on Tuesday. You guys should check it out, At Betches podcast.
Wow, that all sounds so exciting. I'll be listening on Tuesday. Can't wait. The dynamic trio is back, right?
We're back. You're going to hear all about our childhood. It's going to be crazy. We're going to tell you all the inside scoop, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Love it. So let's go to Emily. Emily Morse, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's Dr. Morse?
Yes, you can call me Dr.
Okay.
Dr. Morse.
What type of doctor are you? What type of doctor is it?
It's a doctor in human sexuality, meaning I went to grad school to study how we are all human behavior. So I have a grad, and I'm also a therapist. So I kind of have combined those into helping people talk about sex, understand their bodies, what feels good. And my mission on the planet is to help people prioritize pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex, so it's not weird and awkward. But I went to grad school and I studied, how are we sexual beings? I don't know all the things. Sorry, guys.
Oh no, that makes a lot of sense to me. Do you? So how do you feel like, I mean, because you've been doing this for a while, right? Like, so feel like the conversations around sex have gotten like easier, or they're kind of the same, or people are still kind of like scared to talk about sex?
It's interesting because, yeah, it's been 15 years. 15 years ago, everyone was like, there's no way you can't do a show about sex. That's a horrible idea. No one's going to talk about it. And now I think that we're a little bit more comfortable talking about it, but we still are lacking in some really crucial information. So while we're more open about sex and people are like, oh yeah, I got laid, or I had sex, or I didn't have emotions around it, and I'm so happy I was able to have sex with somebody and not care and have sex just like a man. That's kind of how the dialogue's changed. However, the quality of people's sex, I think, is still terrible because people don't know how to like ask for what they want. They don't feel good about masturbation. They don't know their own bodies. So I think we're more open sexually, but yet we still don't have a lot of the information that I'm still talking about every day.
Right. Do you feel like more so women in particular, or like, you know, men and women both?
Equal, all genders I believe are still requiring this kind of information, because I think that every time you're with somebody new is a great opportunity to learn about yourself and learn about that person, because everyone's different, right, when it comes to sex. But since most of us don't even want to talk about sex to the person we're having sex with, we just sort of guess, we do what our last partner wanted. And so the great thing is we can all be a great lover. We just kind of have to be present and talk to our partner and say, what are you into? Here's what I'm into. What should we do? What's hot? What's not?
Yeah. Do you think it's easier for people with someone new because they can kind of be like, a you know, the person that they wish they could be, or they're maybe more open, and it's maybe harder for people that are like, you know, 10 years in, whatever amount of relationship they're in, and then it's like all of a sudden someone comes to the table and is like, yeah, I'm looking, I'm looking for a finger in the butt, and it's like, oh my God, you're this different person. Like I find it interesting because I've been jokingly calling myself on this podcast and the other podcast, the Rosa Parks of male ass play, because I'm just trying to, like, you know, go down new roads for people to talk openly about it that you've been doing for 15 years. So do you think that's a little bit to do with it? That, like, you're kind of already doing the procedural stuff that you and your partner do, and then you get down the road, or is it the same new and old relationships?
Oh God, I think it's okay. So in a new relationship, you have the benefit of the feel good hormones, the oxytocin, the dopamine, all those. It's new. This person's new, and you've never been with them before, and you don't even really have to talk about sex because there's chemistry. It's like, I've never seen this person's body before. I've never. So sex is usually better just because it's new and exciting. And yes, you can be like, I want a finger in my ass and see how that goes, because you don't have to worry like that your partner of 20 years might be like, where did you learn it? Why do you want a finger in your ass? And you can kind of show up and be like, this is
where did you learn is such a funny question. Where have you, what books have you been reading?
No, right. I totally do that. If I feel like if Mike, that's my fiance, if he was suddenly like, I want this thing, I'd be like, Where did you hear about this? Like,
yeah, what alley did you go down with a finger that went in your butt by accident? Yeah, that's
who told you you should want a finger in your butt? So that's what happened. But with someone new, yeah. So there's more like you. It's exciting because of that. So you kind of can fall back on the hormones and the love hormones. But yeah, you could still show up every time and say, hey, in my last relationships, I realized I never asked for what I want. And now I'm going to tell you, I really need you to go down on me for 25 minutes until anything else happens.
25 minutes? My jaw just got sore. What's going on?
I was being kind because there's a man here, but usually I say 40.
Oh, 40? Oh, my God. I got to go start working out downstairs in the gym.
You could do 20. I'm down, you know, with that.
Come on. I got to do planks for 40 minutes while holding my breath. That
would be good for you and for me.
That's true. Plan,
right? How bad do you anyway? So, but then in long-term relationships, it was amazing at the beginning. And then with every relationship, so yeah, you said you're engaged, right? You said it's like, this is the best time to talk about sex before it gets hard, because in every relationship, it's going to get stale after a while. You're going to want something new. You're going to realize that we've never talked about it. So my whole mission is to say, even if you're in a long-term relationship, I wouldn't say you would whip out like, hey, put a finger in my butt in the middle of sex after 10 years together. But I would before that say, I realize we've been together for 10 years and we've never talked about our sex life. Because this is what I find the majority of couples, like in a real way. Let's start with like, what are the three most memorable times we've had sex? Let's each write it down and compare notes. What does that tell us?
I like
why?
That.
Learn, love that.
Because you know? It starts with positive.
That, right. Oh, yeah. That compliment sandwich. Let's start with all the positive stuff, like even the compliment sandwich. Here's what I loved. Where could we go with it? And, you know, what could we do next? So I start with that. I have this thing on my site. It's at sexwithemily.com. We have these downloadable guides, and there's one that's the yes, no, maybe list. It has like 80 sex acts on it. It could be like everything from like kissing, making out, anal, spanking, dirty talk, oral. And you can each take this little quiz, and it's like a yes or a no or a maybe. And then you're like, I didn't know you wanted dirty talk, so did I. Or what's a maybe? We both wanted to do more sensual massage. I had no idea. So I have all these tools that help couples realize, like, talk about sex is my main thing. And then, like, what can we do to play and make it more interesting? Because a lot of time couples are like, we've done the same three positions.
What a fantastic tool for people. And they can go to your website, sexwithemily.com, and download that for free. That's just on there.
It's all free. Plan your pleasure for the next year. Like, what worked last year? What do I want more of? Whatever pleasure
to you. What do you do with a partner that, you know, you're being more open then? Because I think, like, you know, this podcast is all about the interplay between technology and relationships, as well as the male and female perspective. And I think, you know, from the male side of things, you know, I think a lot of guys get a little embarrassed to bring up kind of where they'd like to go. Because if a woman says she was sexual, oh my God, this is hot, whatever. Like if I ran into a bar, I'll use the finger in the butt thing. And I'll say, if I ran into a bar and saw an ex of mine and was like, she likes a finger in the butt, everyone was like, ooh, very nice. And if my ex ran into a bar and was like, he likes a finger in the butt, I'd be like, get this pervert out of here. I think that's the fear for a lot of guys.
But I think women, I think there's also a big fear of guys thinking that you're slutty. If you like, you
absolutely.
Know, if you say for the women, I understand the male side of like, you know, it's maybe like a little bit more socially acceptable to make fun of the guy. But I feel like for women, there's a whole other thing yeah. of like, what do you know, if I'm the kind of girl who does this or something.
Totally.
Like that.
I totally agree that there's difference. I think like, but if someone's afraid of being considered looser or not manly because of things that they want to get into, and like, how do you get someone to open up in that way?
Well, that's also the thing. You have to choose your partner. Like, are you looking, are you in a relationship, Jared? You're dating, right? You're single.
I'm in a relationship. My girlfriend is sitting 6 feet away from me.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, she has a little point.
What you like.
She has a pointer stick with a dildo up my ass right now while we're talking. So
great.
It's all fun.
How's that going for you? Having her a butt plug for a few hours at a time. I think you just kind of, the more mature you get and the more you educate yourself, you just want to go towards partners that are cool, that are down, that are like, yeah, I want to try some new stuff too. I'm not going to be tweeting this out to everyone. I'm going to, mm-hmm. I care about your pleasure. Let's go on a journey together. And this is very new. I think the kind of stuff, I think what you're saying is, yeah, most people are nervous about that and they don't want to be judged or shamed, and that they mostly, their partners are not where I want to see the world going, where everybody feels safe talking about sex. They've eradicated all the shame from childhood, from religion, from their family. If they had an assault, sexual assault, which 3 out of 5 women have, they have gone to therapy. They're working on themselves. They're realizing it doesn't define them. Like, there's so much stuff that we bring to the table when we become sexual with somebody that it's like, it's really hard. But once we clear all that stuff away and we realize that pleasure is our birthright and we deserve pleasure and they deserve pleasure and like what feels good to me and what feels, and we just kind of figure out like we're planning where we're going to go to dinner on a Friday night. Like we're going on our summer vacation. Let's plan our sex life for this year. Look how much fun we can have. Like that's where I want it to go. But where most people are like, oh my God, my partner asked me to put a finger in my butt. I don't know. What do you think about that? Does it make him gay? No. Like, again, I've been saying it for a long time. A sex act does not make you gay. If you wanted a man to put a finger in your butt, then I'd say, well, maybe, Jared, maybe you want to be with men. Maybe that mm-hmm. does make you. But otherwise, it just means that you have a prostate and it can feel amazing with something inside of it. And I just want people to explore. But if you're with someone who doesn't have as much information and education around sex, like most of the world, they might be a little judgy at first.
You know, it's interesting, even hearing you talk about it, you're like, of course. You know, like, I'm sure people are listening right now, like, of course we should have a yes, no, maybe list. Of course we plan our vacation. And then, you know, I think it becomes hard for everyone out there because, again, what if that first response is, where did you learn this? You know, like.
This is the thing. So this is, I have a whole plan for this, Jared.
Okay, great.
Conversation. So first off, you got to be really careful where you have the sex conversation, because if you're just in the bedroom and you've been with your partner 15 years, you're like, hey babe, finger in my butt, she'll be like, whoa, what? that was not part of our plan. Where did you learn that? But you got to start it outside the bedroom. So I have these 3 T's of communication: timing, tone, and turf. Do not
Love
have
it.
Sex conversations in the bedroom. Have them outside the bedroom. So that is your turf. Just for a million reasons. When you're in the bedroom, it's just like, what? Because also most people don't talk about sex. So the first time you have to be really, you know, careful and planned about it, because your partner is going to think, where did you learn this? They are going to think that they're a terrible lover. Like, think about it. Most people haven't talked about sex. So if your partner says, we need to talk about sex, they're going to be like, oh shit, I'm a terrible lover. You hate the way I give you blowjobs. You know, I gained weight. Like, whatever. Like, we think we've done the worst thing. So outside the bedroom. And then your timing is not on top of another argument, when you're fighting, when you're passing in the hallway and you're like, oh babe, you know, I've been wanting a finger in my butt. It's when you're hanging out, you're chilling, there's, you know, you're like having a drink, you are maybe going for a walk, you're on a road trip. Road trips are great because they make awkward conversations easier, because you don't have to look at them in the eye, but you could be like, I've been thinking about anal, you know, while you're driving.
You can't leave.
Can't leave.
Well, I think also for the timing thing, I think that made a lot of sense to me, just also because like if you bring it up while you're in the bedroom, someone like doesn't really have enough time to like think about it.
Yeah.
Almost. Like, it's right like, now? Oh, you want me to do this right now? Like I want like space from it so I can consider it.
Exactly. No, that's exactly it. We want to like have a real dialogue, and then your tone is just curious, light, and it's collaborative. It's like, it's not like you never want to initiate sex. It's like, you know what? I realize that I want you to know this is really hard for me right now. I've never had a conversation like this before. And so this is going to be awkward. This is something I want for both of us. I realize we've never really talked about our sex life. I mean, it's amazing, right? We love all these things. But and I always say blame me. Like, I was listening to this podcast and Dr. Mm-hmm. Emily said we should have a conversation and we've never done it. And so I know that you might be feeling, you know, you just kind of cover it. You're like, I know, like, this is not my only agenda here is to figure out how we could be the best lovers to each other. Are you down?
Uncomfortable conversations comfortably.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what we always say on this podcast.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims. And with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love, love, love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP.
I think this is so great. I had another question. I mean, you have somewhat had, like, this year specifically, like, the, you know, the pandemic, like, you've kind of exploded. And I don't mean that because, listen, I can understand why just from talking to you, you have such a great perspective. But like, why do you think pandemic became like Sex with Emily time? Like what makes, you know, what made you kind of such an asset to people? And everyone should go listen to your podcast, Sex with Emily. Everyone should go check out Emily on Instagram at Sex with Emily, her at website, sexwithemily.com. Make sure you go check out everything she's doing because the, again, like, this has already been such a great, you know, talk so far.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about the pandemic that people, like, you became such an asset for people?
Honestly, I don't know if it was a pandemic. I mean, yes, my business has been amazing in the pandemic. More people are listening to podcasts. People are home and they're like, shit, now I have to have the conversation about sex. Cause I can't escape anymore. Like, we've never talked about it. And now we are staring at each other. But I have to say, it's really hard. I've been doing this for 15 years. I started a podcast in my living room. I'm an artist. I've been working. I've done 5,000 podcasts and I've worked my ass off. And yeah. I think I could say it's the pandemic. It could just be like showing up every week, every day, doing a show and helping people. And really, like, I think I did a masterclass this year. And that was really, like, the masterclass approached me last year and said, will you teach our first wellness class on sex? I was like, you know, and I recorded that this summer. And you know, New York Times did a great piece a few weeks ago, and I've been on SiriusXM for 2 years. I mean, honestly, I've never had a publicist. I'm not about, I guess I haven't been as much about myself. I have no idea. Honestly, I think it's all the things. I love what I do. I work really hard. And I guess people, it's a confluence of all those things.
Do you think the pandemic, though, has, a little bit, like, as far as, like, people are just interested in, like, figuring out their sex life right now?
Absolutely. Sex toy sales are through the roof. People are, my podcast, it's amazing the questions I'm getting. People are also either they're breaking up because they're like, we can't take it anymore. So now they want to know about dating apps. Like, I don't just talk about sex. It's like relationships and dating and communication. And I also think that people are at home. And what they found is that people who, well, I didn't do the study, but the Kinsey Institute did a study that showed that couples who've been together for a while and they're at a good place, like maybe they already had excellent communication, or maybe their kids are gone, or they're never had kids, they want to experiment. And they're like, we've never had any of these talks or any of these conversations. And when we do have sex, let's make it amazing. Let's experiment. Let's try new things. So that's what we've seen with sex. We've seen that people are buying more sex toys. Couples that weren't working are breaking up. People are slowing down, and they're also going on the apps, but they're doing more, based. I think it's good that people are slowing down and not just having sex, meaning courtship is back and they're taking more time to get to know someone on an app. So yeah, and my podcast, yeah, it's been crazy. It's been so many more listeners and so many, we get hundreds of questions a day, literally hundreds and hundreds of DMs, emails, and I just want to answer all of them. I try to provide as much information as I can.
We get emails about this kind of thing all the time. Do you think that if someone, starts out like somewhat sexually incompatible with someone, or they're like, oh, I don't like their kissing style, or they're, it doesn't feel like it's like they're that great in bed. Do you feel like that's something that should be like a deal breaker, or is that something you can work on with anyone, or is that a reason, something to work through?
That's a good question. I think you can work through it. I don't think a bad kiss is a deal breaker. I think that people are nervous. It's someone new. They've never been together before. Maybe they were like doing something awkward or whatever. I think you.
What if it's 1,000 bad kisses?
1,000 bad kisses is probably.
Like one bad kiss.
Sounds like
I get
a great
it.
Name of a book.
Yeah, right.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I think that if someone is not great in bed, and you tried to work on it, and you're like, hey, well, here's the kissing thing. I always say to someone, let me show you how I want to be kissed. Like, let's play a game. I'm going to show you how I want to be kissed, and I want you to show me how you like to kiss. And then you can sometimes figure out how you want to kiss together. Like, I have a lot of different hacks to that. But if the sex is really bad, and there's somebody who you said, you know what, I actually don't want to move so fast. I need more foreplay. I need more oral. And they're like, I don't care. What about that's bullshit? I don't like going down on women. I'm just giving you examples of things that could happen. Right. No, that person is not in your lifetime or on your watch. Is that person going to figure out that pleasure is important?
Well,
so selfish lovers, you can't change. But lovers who care, like, yeah, if they're into it, they're like, let's figure this out.
You know, a lot of times we get caught up in the, I don't like someone being like, I would never go down on a woman. And I think like, that's kind of the loud version of, to me, I would never go down on a man. I would never go down on a woman is kind of like the extreme. What about the person that you do say something to? They do it and then they kind of go away
they're
from
not
it.
That like, into it.
They're not that into it. They're not, having fun with it. They're not excited about it. But it kind of, because a lot of this.
The reluctant blowjob.
Yeah, the reluctant blowjob.
Another title.
The reluctant.
No one wants a reluctant blowjob. You'd rather not have one. Like, you're like, oh,
exactly.
God.
Exactly.
Fucking thing on your to-do list. You want to, enthusiasm is like, you got to be into it.
Yeah, like, but isn't that a more likely scenario than the person that looks you in the eye and says, I would never go down on you? Like, I just think a lot of people get in these half situations that are like, fine-ish, would you ever deal with someone that's fine-ish sexually for you?
Personally, no, but I think that most people just don't know what to do because that's what they've always done. And so they get into a rut. And most women, I think, a lot of women, not most, I hate to say most, but they just sort of, I don't know, you guys, our sex drives change over time. Maybe we're really stressed out or we're on birth control pill and that impacted our libido, or we're on antidepressant, or we have so much resentment. It's like resentment is the biggest killer of our sex drive. So I might be giving you a reluctant blowjob because I'm so pissed that you never did something else that I need you to do. And I like, I'm going to do it because I love you, but like, I'm pissed about A, B, C, and D, which is why so many couples just need to have open communication. Therapy is a must. Clear all this shit out. If you had great sex at the beginning, to go back and answer your question, if you had great sex at the beginning, like you had that fire, you had that connection, I believe you can continue to create great sex. But if you never had it and it was always reluctant blowjob and it was always a reluctant everything, that's tricky. If you didn't even have the chemistry and you have nowhere to, like, you don't even have that thing to go back to, that's tough.
Right.
Yeah.
Change over time and, yeah, figure out what's really up. It's usually not about sex.
I think a lot of people are embarrassed to, like, make a part of their wheel. Like, because we're talking about relationships. We're talking about dating. Like, I think the wheel of, like, oh, we get along in person. I like their friends. I like their family. And then sex is like the thing that they're embarrassed of making a deal breaker.
Right. It should
be. It's everything. If you don't have great sex, people think it's not. Like, sex isn't that important. It becomes really important when it's not great. Like, it takes over the entire relationship if you're not having great sex. But when it's good, yeah, it should still be a consideration. But you have to maintain it because then you're just roommates, right?
Do you feel like the key is just like, constantly innovating? Like, I'm trying to imagine, like, you think you can have great sex 20, 30 years into a relationship? And is it about like upping the ante, or is it just about like, because I mean, I would imagine most things get a little boring if you do them enough.
It's about variety. It's about novelty. It's about spontaneity. Like, how are we prioritizing our sex life? Like, whenever I ask that question to couples and I say, what was the most memorable time? It's always like on vacation or something spontaneous. Like, it was that surprising moment, or it was outside with when someone almost walked in, or, you know, it's always like this very like surprise element, a novelty, like the time we brought a sex toy in. I mean, that's, to many people, that's the most, that's exciting. And I love toys, or they tried lube. It doesn't have to be like, we had an orgy with our entire block. You know, it's like, you gotta be like, we tried it in the living room tonight because it's always in the bedroom and I'm so tired of the same ceiling and the same things, you know? So I think it's just a matter of like talk, because what happens a lot is also there's the mismatched libidos, right? That's really common. That one, there's always a high desire partner and a low desire partner. And the high desire partner, I mean, and so usually they don't match up. Like, there's very rarely two high desire partners.
Emily, hold on 1 second. Do we want to read the email? Because we actually have an email on the subject. So I have one more question before we get into this email. What's your relationship status? Are you with someone? Are you dating? Are you married?
I'm sleeping with a few people right now.
You're sleeping with a few people right now. Now, what does that mean to you? Like, I think people would love to hear that because, you know, there's some people that are like, oh, I'm sleeping with a few people. And then, you know, they're like, how could a woman that's listening right now be like, who wants to be able to say that to people? Like, I'm sure you would set a great example for like,
I just let everyone know that that's what I'm doing. I mean, I'm not your typical female. I've never prioritized marriage. So that's never, I've been in long-term relationships, but right now during the pandemic, I've just been sort of someone I knew before. Now we're kind of seeing each other. And then I had a guy in another country who's now back and visiting, so I'm seeing him. And
how do you tell the other? Do you tell these men?
That was my question. Like, do they?
I do. Yeah.
So before you get into bed with them, or when do you have that conversation? As far as the three T's.
Right away. I mean, let's see. I haven't talked to the other guy because he just got to town. But my one guy, I just tell him.
Per an example, you have the guy that you've started seeing again. Right. And then new guy comes into town from, you know, from another country. He comes in. Have you told the original, the other guy, have you said, hey, I got a friend coming in town. Just want to let you know, like, I plan.
I figure out what he wants to know. The guy, I'm like, do you want to know who it is? Do you want to know what kind of sex? Because we have a really great sex thing going on, but he's also that. And I'm like, what part of it turned you on? And I'm like, do you want to know? We played through the scenario, actually. His first thing was like, just make sure you like shower. Like, I don't want, like, this is funny you're asking me this because I've literally never talked. No one ever asked me this, not lately. But he's like, I don't want like you make sure you like shower. And you like, I'm like, yeah, of course. But like, I'm like, do you want to know which, he's like, I'm not sure yet. Because he's new at this too. So I'm teaching him kind of like, let's really get specific, because I think we've all been people like, I don't want to make him jealous. Like, I don't want him to be upset. Sure. And
so
and,
if we can go back a step.
Sure.
When do you bring this up? Like, how does that come up that you have a guy that you're consistently seeing? Obviously, you know, the you guys aren't together, or I don't know. Are you together? No, would you consider them?
We could be. I mean, it's still like he has other things. I don't know. We just sort of, I think we could be together at another, at some point more seriously, but it's just sort of lately it's, I think the way it is right now is that I'm not really sure that we could, I've been really busy with a lot of different things and I'm just sort of dating and not looking for anything serious right now.
Totally. But it hasn't been like labeled.
We haven't labeled it, but he's been my COVID boyfriend.
Okay.
Go for that. That's what I call him. And I just, we haven't been able to take it to another place. I'm just not really in that. Like it's
so
been.
How did you tell him that the person was coming to visit?
This is so great. I just said, yeah, this guy, because I think we've known that we're not going to be in this relationship now with both of our life circumstances and what's happening. It's not going to be going to a place where, I don't know, we're just not moving in together. We're not, I have a very different lifestyle than he does. And so I was just like, yeah, I told him, I said this, he said something about this weekend. I said, oh, remember that guy that I was with this summer, he's coming in town. And he was like, oh, I'm like, how does that make you feel? I just want you to know. And he said, yeah, fine. Are you going to see him? I said, yeah. And he goes, okay, well, like, can you just, if you have sex with him, can you just shower? Can you shower? Because I talked about the guy I had sex with on my show, on my podcast. I said I went to Iceland and met this guy and I've told their story. And the other guy listens to my podcast. I'm like, you know, the guy from Iceland. So anyway, I'm like, he's in town. He's like, okay, well, I think what I don't want to know is like, I don't think I need to know specifics, but just make sure it's like clean, like you clean your sheets or whatever. I'm like, yeah. So that's what happened. I just let him know. And
I'm trying to think of how this conversation would go if the genders were reversed. Right. Jordana,
I think men just are less honest than she is.
Yeah.
The way you said it, I'm like, that's a great way to say it. How
that
does that make you feel?
Very refreshing to hear. Yeah. I feel like usually you're sleeping with a guy who's sleeping with a lot of other women who just makes no attempt to let you know.
Yeah. You should assume that everyone you're dating is sleeping with someone else. Well, how about that? How about you just go into it? The women too. Like, just assume if you met him on an app, of course they're dating other people and maybe their ex came back around. Like, just, unless you wanted the conversation, but I would love there to be no shame in this. I'm safe. Right. I use condoms. I'm like, okay, I get tested, not just for COVID, but for everything. It's like, I'm not looking for that right now. I don't want someone to move in with me. I love my life. I'm like a very independent, I've got great friends. I've got a new dog I'm obsessed with. I'm like, my life is so honest. I'd love this people to know that this is okay. And people might freak out on you. They might be, and this is the first time my guy's like, he's never been through this either. So I'm teaching him. And he's like, I'm actually okay with it. I don't want to know this, but I do want to know that. I'm like, let's keep talking. And that's the healthiest way to do it.
I hope you don't feel shamed by the questioning. I think some people are going to be able to walk through your footsteps to have similar conversations to you, male or female.
Yeah, I think you're right. No, I'm glad you're asking me because that's literally how you do it. And I say, is that okay? Because I'm not perfect. I've fucked up. I've hurt people's feelings. Like, I just really try to be honest in all my relationships. Even if it's my employees, my team, my lovers. I'm just like, this is what's happening. So the guy that just came into town, I'm sure he probably assumes I'm seeing people, but I will absolutely let him know where I'm at and like that I'm dating and I'm, you know, he's in town for a few months. I just think it's clear. It's clean. And it's healthy. So I hope that everybody, this is why I just want to change the mindset around what's possible with sex and relationships. Because you're right, Jordana, people, they lie. We get upset. But it's like, did you have a conversation that you were monogamous and committed? And then you found out after, that's a bummer. But if you didn't have that conversation, I mean, people still lie. That's true. But
do you feel like it's harder for, there are some women who can separate like emotion from sex more so than others. And there are others who are, you know, less able to do that? Or do you feel like that's all like societally constrained?
I have emotions that I care about. I mean, I think that saying I'm just going to cut off my emotions, I'm not going to catch feels, is tricky because I always do. The thing is, I'm not having like heartless sex. I care about my lovers now a lot. I just know the capacity. Like, I need an emotional connection to care about anyone and to be anything. Like I care, I have a big heart, but I also know the boundaries in it. Like I know what's possible and what's not. I've had to learn this stuff. But I think when you're like, I'm just having sex without emotion, I'm just going to go. I mean, that's fun for a while, but I don't think that's an end all be all. You just, after a while, you're like, okay, I'm just having sex. It's right. Just, I don't know.
Either sex.
Mm-hmm. Everyone, I think you get tired of it. And I think the greatest sex, what I've found for personally and professionally of all the thousands of people I've talked to, is when we feel safe and we're with a trusted, I used to say this is just women, but I think it's all genders, men too. When we feel safe and we feel trusted, and we feel like we can be ourselves, that's when we have the best sex.
Right. Absolutely agree. And I love what you said, because I think that's something we've kind of come talk to about on this podcast. It's like, I know what's possible. I know what's not. You said it for yourself. Like, that takes time to get there.
I used to be one of those people who thought they didn't have time to prioritize wellness. But I recently came across Allo Moves, and now my whole mindset has changed. The app makes it easy to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, and so much more. To me, living a healthy, mindful life is really about your mindset, and all of the things that Allo Moves have in their app contribute towards a well-balanced, healthy life. It's not just workouts. It's also meditations. It's also fitness classes. It's also yoga. It's things that calm your mind, healthy recipes, just to give you an overall lifestyle pick-me-up. And I think all of these things are equally important to having the healthy life that you want. So that's why I love that you can find it all in one place with Allo Moves. From beginner to advanced, Allo Moves has the flow or class that will fit your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what I'm feeling that day. If you're trying to get in a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights. Or maybe you'd rather find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, dry brushing, and journaling for those quiet moments. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use their code UUP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's allomoves.com, code UUP. allomoves.com, code UUP.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 perfume mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night, go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. Do we want to do the email? Do we want to get into
it? Yeah, let's do the email, because it's about something we had already, we touched on. So I would love to get Emily's perspective on this.
It's fun. Yeah.
Okay, so the listener writes in, "Hey, J&J, big fan, boasted about you both and this podcast to all my friends. Short version, how important is it in a relationship to have a similar sex drive? If they don't match, are you lowering your standards by staying with someone who doesn't match you? Longer version, I'm 25 and I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for the past 6 years, aside from a brief break 2 years ago. Of the two of us, I definitely have the higher sex drive. My boyfriend has always said that that was something he liked about me, and yet I can't help but hate it about him. Sex is good, sometimes great, but just not often enough. In the past, and I guess currently since I'm writing in, I've gotten in my head about this imbalance. Recently, when we've had sex, he's come before me and makes comments along the lines of, we need to have sex more so I can last longer. Yes, that would be great. And yet, I constantly have to be the one to initiate sex. Our breakup in the past was largely based on this. I stopped initiating, started counting the days since we last had sex, and even went to the extreme of starting to wear clothes in bed in hopes that when I was actually naked, it would be more sexual. Dumb, I know. I'm now more mature and have actually spoken to him about the fact that I want / need more. And while he agrees and acknowledges this in conversation, there's no change in his behavior. Having to always initiate doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. I feel like I'm always asking and he doesn't necessarily want it. I guess I'd like to be more sexualized by my partner. Maybe I need too much validation, or maybe this is a legitimate problem. Hoping you can shed light and maybe even suggest better ways to fix this if you don't find it a lost cause. Appreciate any insight you can give me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you read the long version, because the similar sex drive, most couples don't have a similar sex drive. We can get to that in a minute. But she's 25 years old. She's been with her boyfriend for 6 years. I'm going to guess it's her first serious relationship, right? Probably the longest lover she's had. I don't know. I've been with anyone for 6 years, right? Like, it's a thing.
Since she's 19, I would assume so, yeah.
25. 19, she got together with this guy. She still has to figure out who she is sexually. So the question, I think, and he's premature ejaculator. I mean, I went through all, I dated a guy for 2 years. It was in my 30s. It was a premature ejaculator that didn't, she needs to break from him. I mean, she needs to break from him.
Rest in peace, that guy's soul. I mean, he didn't think of himself as a premature ejaculator until he heard this response.
Didn't she say he comes too quickly?
Yeah.
He's
saying it's because they don't have sex enough, but he's still not trying to initiate.
There's a lot going on here. I mean, they could go to a sex therapist if she wants to make it work. They could. I mean, I don't just say that, but I'm like, I know this story. I've heard this. I've gotten this email so many times.
I also think I thought of the same thing as you, the ages. Like, you know, a lot of people. That matters as far as growing up and you know, I think when you grow up with a significant other at 19 to 25 and you're having issues, you are not really your own person. You're kind of one thing together. But also, a lot of people do this where they say, she said something very specific that they've been together 6 years, aside from a brief break 2 years ago. People think these breaks are like their Rumspringer. And is that enough time to really have your own figuring out yourself?
No. I think that your 20s, especially if you want to have kids, your 20s should be, I think, don't get married till you're 30, at least. That's just my belief. Take time, figure out who you are as a sexual person. Does she ever masturbate? Does she figure out her body? Has she experimented? Has she been with different lovers? That's part of it. It's like having one meal at 20. I mean, I'm only eating Italian food for the rest of my life. I had a great pizza. And that's all I'm going to eat. Literally, that's what she's saying, because this has been her only lover. And I just think the drama, there's probably a lot of other things going on. She just hasn't enough years on the planet to walk through life and understand what she wants sexually and what she's into. And maybe they could go take my yes, no, maybe list. Maybe he's been wanting a finger in his butt and he hasn't told her. And then once she does that, he'll be like, when are we having sex again? We don't know. And I'm just going to assume that they haven't had any of the conversations that we've been talking about. So they could do my yes, or maybe she could say to him, babe, what are you into? What's really hot sex for us? But I doubt that, they're just having the mechanical, I'm not initiating, you're initiating. And I just see a world where people are just much more open about it. And this isn't why haven't you initiated yet? You understand why your partner has initiated yet. I don't know. You just, but they need more experience. I think, brief break was probably just them obsessing about each other. And I don't know.
Is that to say that people who have different sex drives, but you said that's normal. That's normal. You said
that. Thank you. So not out of this scenario, in every relationship, I want to declare that there's a high desire partner and a low desire partner. And what I've seen, most of them don't, there's usually very rarely, maybe at the beginning, everyone's high desire because it's great. The honeymoon phase is amazing and you can't stop banging and ripping each other's clothes off. But when it all settles, there's a high desire, low desire, and the low desire partner has the power in the relationship because they're the one who's essentially the gatekeeper in deciding whether or not sex is happening. And I do not think this is a deal breaker. Everybody would be divorced right now, right? I think it's more about understanding that. And sometimes it flips. Sometimes you're the low desire, but then you want it, you know what I mean? It can flip in a relationship, but unfortunately they don't usually match up. So if this is the case, I think you just call, you say, you know what? I realize that you want sex every day. And I want sex 3 times a week, once a week, let's say. Usually that's the scenario. What could we do? And then you might say, okay, well, when do you feel the most, let's figure out, when are you the most aroused? When are you the most turned on? Well, maybe we should have more morning sex because I'm so tired at night. and what days would be great. Like, let's try, let's aim for 3 days a week. And I think Saturday mornings are great because I'm usually less tired, you know. And then people think that scheduling sex is not sexy. But when you schedule it, you know that Saturday night, it's on. I can plan for it. I've shaved my legs. I wore something sexy. We got a hotel room. And then you're not worried because on Tuesday night, your partner rejected you when you made an advance. And Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, you know it's happening Saturday. So what I'm saying is, it, rather than the resentments build, how do we work on it together? How do we solve this mismatch libido and know when it's happening and when it's not?
Right.
Yeah.
It's not a deal breaker. It's a deal breaker if your partner's like, I don't care. I don't want sex. Once a month is fine for me. If you want more sex, then, you know, whatever. Like, I think that if you're with a partner that isn't willing to work on it, that's a problem. But usually you can find, and sex isn't just about penetration too. It could be like, we both watch porn and masturbated, you know. I think we have to expand what sex is, our version of sex.
I think that's great advice. I think that's absolutely. That happens, like you said, with most couples. There's someone who, you know, wants it more, wants it less. So that's very good advice for like how to compromise or navigate it.
Exactly. I actually didn't even answer. I just went into the problem solving, but it's because I hear it so much and I just want couples to try to address it and realize that, like, if you both decide it's important, what are you going to do about it to make it happen?
Absolutely. I mean, it's so interesting that you heard that email and you're like, this one's doomed, but not for the reason they think that it's doomed.
Yeah, not for that reason. I mean, that's what I think after all these years, I was like, I can talk to someone, whether I'm at a party or it's an email. I'm like, I know exactly what this person needs, like which toy they need, how to solve their sexual trauma. I call it like these sex trauma. Like, I just know I can figure out everyone's. It's really what I've been doing every day for 15 years.
So, but this girl should break up with this guy, you're saying.
Yeah. I hate to say that, but I think, and then if it's meant to be, yeah, I could go back, but 6 years and she's already broken up with him about the sex. Yeah, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say go out and have sex. Be with someone who initiates. See how that feels. Be with someone who desires you and wants to rip your clothes off and wants to expand your sex life and your sexual repertoire and see how that feels. Now, you might miss your boyfriend because you grew up together, like Jared said. Sure. He's your best friend. He's your everything. But I just think we're much more equipped for life when we have more experiences. We travel, we meet more people, we experience life.
It doesn't have to be expensive to upgrade your wardrobe with luxury quality items. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. I love what Quince is doing. They're basically taking the expensive label off of the clothing and giving you stuff that's just as good. They have cashmere sweaters, they got jackets, they got everything. I love their socks. Right now, you're pulling socks out of the drawer and you're going, oh, it's that pair again? Get rid of that pair. Treat yourself. Quince. Not just the socks, though. They got everything. 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. The best part, Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middlemen and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/UUP for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/UUP to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/UUP. Jordan, do you want to do one more?
Okay, we'll do one more really quick. You want to read it, Jared?
Yeah, I'll read it. Hi, J&J. Let me dive right in. I recently went on 4 dates with a great guy. In between our conversations, banter, and makeouts, our chemistry has been great. I decided it was time to take things to the bedroom, and boy, was I disappointed. He briefly fingered me, but it was more violent poking than pleasure. He asked if he should get a condom, but since our foreplay just started, I assumed he wanted to know where things were headed and have it out for later. But he was inside me before I even knew it. The actual sex was also very much male pleasure oriented as well. And when it was all over, he had no attempts to get me off. I would have felt very used, except for the fact that everything else has been great. He texts me frequently throughout the day, has brought up future dates and plans, and today he invited me to his birthday party, said he is excited for me to meet his friends. I've never had trouble asking for one out in bed. But usually those requests are one or two little tweaks, such as keep doing that or move your fingers a little bit lower. How do I even begin to have this conversation without destroying his confidence when literally everything is off, not knowing how to finger me, not understanding how much foreplay is needed, not ensuring I have an orgasm? He's 32, attractive, intelligent, normal, so I never expected him to be so clueless in bed. Everything else has been perfect, but sexual compatibility is a deal breaker for me, so I'll have to end things if things can't improve. Would love your advice. So, Dr. Emily Morse.
Yeah, you know, you guys, I mean, here's the other thing. I used to think that too. Once they're an old man's going to know at 32, 42, guys don't know unless, here's how guys are going to know. He doesn't know. I can't imagine that he's like, I don't give a fuck about your pleasure. I think that most sex is, if you think about it, we didn't even get into like all the bad sex education we have. We always see it being about penetration, right? Penis goes in vagina, that's sex. When only the majority of women will not have an orgasm with anything that has to do with your penis, nothing to do with it. Like if your penis didn't even show up, we'd be fine if you could go down and use your fingers, all that. But most people don't have that information. So what I've found is that for most men, unless they had a really like an older woman they were dating, like at some point, like they're like, I had this woman and she taught me everything. That's what I feel like for many men, that was like a game changer. Like, oh, now I know what I need. Or they did research, or they've been listening to my podcast for years. Like I have guys who full on grown up listening to my show. But otherwise, if this guy, this 32-year-old, has been with women who were also very much more like, yeah, just have sex with me and I don't care, which is also, he probably doesn't know. What I'm saying, right. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
He definitely doesn't know. I'm with you. This is ego sex. This is a dude who thinks that because he's here, the party went well, and that's all he had to do was show up.
Yes, and this still exists all the time. I mean, that was me. I was like that. I didn't even know when I was 32. I was like, yeah, okay. That's why I started my job, because I was like, sex is so disappointing. I'm not having orgasms. How I was having orgasms? Like, is this it? Some guy rolls up, pounds away at me for 30, 20 minutes, whatever, like a jackhammer, and then we get up and like, that's what everyone talks about? I was like, that can't be right. But this is the scenario that is like, yes, this happens in bedrooms everywhere and I need it to stop. And so she just needs to say to him, hey, let's talk about it. Everything's great. Love your friends, blah, blah, blah. And this is the conversation outside the bedroom. And just be like, so let's talk about our sex life. And she should lead with like, I think your body's so hot. And I love the way does she like anything about him? I love the way we kiss.
I love the way you text me regularly.
I love the efficacy and the frequency of your text messages.
Yeah.
I've been learning a lot about myself lately, my body. Again, blame me, blame listening to this podcast. And I realized that like for me to be really turned on, like I love the makeout sessions. I love what you were doing with your fingers that time. Can I show you? Would you be down if I showed you what really turns me on? Because it's really important, like whatever. And just see what he says.
Well, I can already hear her first question, because I not that I think this is a problem, because I agree with what you're saying. Like, hey, get yours. His confidence, you know, fuck his confidence. If he's not confident enough to hear that, then you're better off without this person. She's going to say, I recently went on four dates. Is four dates too soon? Is one sexual experience too soon? Let's say they've had this one experience that was awful. Is it too soon for her to be like, let's talk about our sex life?
I thought she was saying she went on four dates with, but this is the guy. Okay, so she's gone on four dates with him, and it was only one sexual experience.
That's what it seems.
So she seemed like she missed that.
Okay, good. Oh, I thought for some reason she'd been seeing him for a while, but everything's great. I must have missed that part. If it was only one sexual experience, then okay, that's different. Then when they're in the bedroom, she should just be like, because that's how most first time sexual experiences go. Let's be honest, right? Like that's what most guys are going to do the first time. I think even not
going to try what they think someone else liked. Right?
And I would say, a guy comes in, like he's probably thinking just last a long time. Like that's, you know, when she says he violently, you know, he's just humping me. Like, he's just like, if I last a long time, that means I did a good job. Like, let's get to the sex early. Let's get over the foreplay, because that will take away from the clock that starts the minute insertion happens. Like, I can tell
yes,
his stupidity. We start the clock at insertion. Even though we've been hard for like 2 hours before that while rubbing against you in our jeans, we're sitting there being like, oh my God, I'm at 2 hours in, but she's only think I'm going to get 3 minutes in. So I'm giving this guy a little bit of empathy because I do think he's being ego filled. But at the same time, I do think he's sitting there being like, no, if I last, it was good. Nothing else matters.
Jordana, don't you think we don't care as much if you last as long? I don't know. I don't
totally. No, yeah. I mean, I feel like as long as you last long enough for us to come, we don't.
Right.
It's not longer is not always better. That's definitely not. You can definitely. There's times when it's too long and it's like it actually is more uncomfortable that way.
Like that's what I'm saying. Men are focused on their penis size and how long they last, and women are like, "Do I feel good? Did I get off?" And it's so different. So yeah, hopefully next time when they're together, she can just be like. Starts to get out. She's like, oh, I want to slow down. Or she just shows him, takes his hand and puts it like,
right.
Show him, like in a gentle way. She's like, oh, let me show you what feels good. Like, wouldn't you be psyched? If it's the second time, she could be like, let's slow down. Let me show you this. Let me take
it. Yeah, I mean, I would always be psyched with direction. I think that's powerful. Right? That's hot. That's like just the fact that a woman's thought of it is hot to I think a lot of men. I'm me being one of them. I just think the one thing in her question that like, no man really thinks of that she should stop thinking if she says, how do I even begin to have this conversation without destroying his confidence? Fuck his confidence. If he can't hear it, then you are not attracted to his confidence level. Like, let's switch kind of the perspective.
We're always, and that's why we walk around like mutes, and that's why sex is shrouded in mystery, because of exactly that reason. We don't talk about it because we're so afraid of hurting our partners. Or we're afraid that it's going to come back to us and we did something wrong. And so we just decide to stay silent. But if we start having these conversations, which is why thank you for having me on your show to talk about this stuff, because it's like the more people that have these conversations, the less we're going to be so worried about it. Like if your partner made you a bad meal or you didn't like the present they got you, like you would be like, I didn't love it. But sex, we're like, we have to stay silent. We have to, the male ego is so precious. The guy you want to be with is going to be like, tell me more, babe. I want to know about what you know about your body, or let's figure it out together. And like, that's the world I want to live in. Don't you?
There we go. Listen.
Yeah.
Jordana, anything else for Emily? What do we think?
No, I think that's great. I feel like it's we've come a long way, but there's still so much stigma around, you know, talking about sex or feeling like you can ask for what you want. So I think what you're doing is amazing. And I think our listeners will definitely be able to, most of the sex we talk about is awkward sex. So I'm glad this is actual like practical tips for things to actually do. And I think we get a lot of these emails. So I'm glad we were able to get an expert on to really help us with these. And this was awesome. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, such a blast. Everyone go follow Emily at Sex with Emily, sexwithemily.com for all the resources that she mentioned during this. And Sex with Emily is every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get podcasts. Jordana, we solved dating and sex again.
Look at us.
Finally, it's all over. We figured it all out, right?
Exactly. So thank you so much. We will see you guys Wednesday.
Boom.
Betches.